Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Acts 20. We'll read verses 17 through 38 of Acts 20. Acts 20. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, where he expects to be arrested, and he wants to have one last conversation with the elders at the church of Ephesus. And this is that conversation inspired by the Lord. Acts 20, 17 through 38. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. And therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his blood, with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. And all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." And brothers and sisters, if you look at verse 32, that will be our text this morning, which we'll focus on with God's help. Verse 32, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." May God bless this holy word to our hearts and lives and equip us for service as pastor, elders, deacons, and the entire congregation. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in Acts 20, Paul is coming home from his third missionary journey. He's in a hurry to get back to Jerusalem by Pentecost. He knows he's going to get arrested there for his faith in Jesus Christ, but he's in a hurry to get there for the feast anyways. And he wants to visit the church at Ephesus, on his way down the Aegean coast. But to go all the way into the inlet to the city of Ephesus would take too much time because he's in a hurry. So he stops at a place that's further out along the Aegean coast, Miletus. And he sends a telegram of some kind, a message to the elders in Ephesus, come here and visit me on the beach. The ship has stopped, come visit me on the beach and we'll talk. So there they are here in Acts 20, meeting somewhere on the beach or near the beach. Paul's encouraging the elders of the church at Ephesus. And at the end of his speech, he commends them to God, verse 32. He instructs them, he encourages them, he tells them his own example, and then he commends them to God and to the word of his grace. And that's what we see in our text. And now, verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And so speaking generally of all three church offices of elders, deacons, and ministers this morning, I want to preach God's word on the office bearer's strength. The office bearer's strength. First of all, God's calling. Secondly, God's grace for you. And thirdly, God's inheritance promised to you. God's calling to you, to us. God's grace for us, which is more than sufficient for our callings. And the inheritance promised to us. This is going somewhere. Your work is going somewhere. Every member of the congregation in building the church, your work is going somewhere, the inheritance that lies at the end of the road. One author puts it this way, here is a benediction upon office bearers that dedicates their service to the power and leadership of God. Dedicate your service to the power and leadership of God. First of all, then, God's high calling for an office bearer. Why does Paul commend these elders to God and the word of his grace? And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Why does Paul do this? And it's not just the elders. Earlier in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas are commended by the church of Antioch with prayer and laying on of hands, commended to the word of his grace, Paul says later on. That's how he looks back on that event in Acts 13. So it's for the elders at Ephesus, but also for Paul and Silas, the apostles. And in Acts 6, the same thing is done for the deacons. They're prayed for. Hands are laid upon them. They're also being commended to God and to the word of his grace to build them up. Why? Why does Paul commend them, us, to the grace of God? But before we answer that, what does it mean to be commended to God and the word of his grace? To commend is not quite the same as to command. To commend means I take something or I take you or a matter and I put it somewhere. I commit it to someone. So when he says, I commend you to God, he says, I take you elders and I put you in God's hand to care for you. That's really what he's doing here. I'm committing you to God's care and God's charge. Now, think carefully. It's not quite the same as saying, I commend God to you, elders and deacons. I commend God to you. Seek him. Pray to him. Look for his help. I commend God to you. That's involved, but it's much stronger. I commend you to God. Matthew Henry puts it this way. It's not first that Paul urges leaders to look up to God with an eye of faith. That's not first here. Paul urges leaders to look up to God with an eye of faith. But Paul calls on God to look down on leaders with an eye of favor. To look down on us. Not in the sense of putting us down, but caring for us. That's really what's going on here? I commend you to the grace of God. But back to the first question, why does Paul commend these men to God and to the word of his grace? It's so that they might be built up for their high calling in the church. The high calling from God. He's just spent the last 13 verses reminding them of their special calling and task from God. And if I could point to one verse, if your Bible's open, look at verse 28. That really shows the high calling of really all office bearers in the church. Look at verse 28, one verse. Pay careful attention to yourselves. The form said that so well. Watch your own life personally, your family life, your relationship with those outside. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care, and here's the call, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. To care for the church of God. And that includes all office bearers. The elders as overseers in doctrine and life care for the church of God. The deacons in their calling to care for the needy care for the church of God. The ministers in preaching and teaching the word, calling all to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and to serve the living God, take care of the church. And really, everyone, in an ordinary, general sense, has a call to care for the church. As each member, you're members of the body, says Paul in Ephesians 4, is that each member does his work, her work. The body builds itself up in love. Care for the church. We each have a calling here, even though this is specifically directed at the office bearers. Care for the church of God. And that word care means to feed the flock, to feed, to tend, to nourish, to supply the needs of God's people, to protect it against savage wolves, he says later on, to warn God's people against sin and falling away, to lead God's people always to Christ, to the gospel, to seek their total well-being. That's what it is to care for the church of God. And this calling is a glorious calling. First, it's a glorious calling. Look at that, brothers. Care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. What an honor and privilege that God has put it in our hands to care for his beloved family, his precious flock, whom he loves so much. He sent his son. When he saw us perishing in our sin under his curse, that he loved his flock so much, he sent his son to stand in our place and become a curse for us, that we could live and we could become God's children by adoption and become God's family. And he takes his family and he puts us in the charge of elders, deacons, and pastors. Like, what a glorious calling. I remember soon after Evelyn and I had our first child, we wanted to go away shopping for a few hours. And for the first time, we left our baby in someone else's care. So we dropped off the diaper bag, complete with supplies and instructions. And that dear lady was so honored to be the first one to care for our child. She was so honored. Well, think of the glorious calling it is to be given the honor to take care of God's beloved child, his church. And God drops off, as it were, all the supplies that we need and gives us all the instructions we need. And he says, and these are mine. These are my children. This is my flock. This is my church. Take care of the church of God. Not your church. The church of God, which he purchased with his blood. Take good care of them. What a glorious calling. Do you see, congregation, your glory in this too? You're God's family. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves you, washes your sins with his blood, gives you new life, but he puts you in his family. And you become part of his bride and his flock and his household. Are you stunned? Are you still amazed? Do you believe in him? Do you believe that he has put you in the body and that this is such a special honor and privilege for you and for the office bearers? Do we accept our place as those who are called to care for the church of God? And for all of us, do you love this? Do you love his family? Do you love the church, your congregation? Yeah, yours. Not somebody else's. Oh, them too, but your own. Wow. It's glorious. But the other part of this high calling is that it's laborious. It's hard work for all of us. It's difficult work. Just read the Bible. It's heavy work, heavy lifting. Verse 19, Paul speaks about serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials. He speaks of fighting savage wolves who want to destroy the church of God. He speaks of worrying and working day and night. You know what it is to wake up at 3 a.m. worried about your church? Worried about your own family, the family of God. Paul speaks about sacrifice. It isn't easy, and we shouldn't look. Elders, deacons, pastors, or anybody shouldn't look for it to be easy. That is the way of our day. We want life to be easy. We want church to be easy. And if it ain't easy, don't count on me. It's deadly. Destroys the body. But it also destroys you, because it is absolutely selfish. No, Jesus didn't save us to pamper ourselves, but to give ourselves to him, his kingdom, and the building up of his body. So we must come to this ready to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord and see that God's church is worth our sacrifice because it's God's church. As the hymn writer wrote, Timothy Dwight, "For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, to her my cares and toils be given, till toils and cares shall end." Congregation, what's true in a special way for office bearers is true for all of us. The church is not to be kicked around and bullied as your favorite target, and not to be neglected as an unimportant part of your life. We're members of his body, and the body is built up in love as each one does his work or her work. And again, I ask, do you accept by faith the work of Jesus to wash you and make you part of his body? Or is your one of your favorite things to do is punch the bride of Christ and just beat her up? I hope not. I hope not. That's not only a disservice to the body, it's hateful to Christ. It's hateful to Christ. Secondly, that's our calling. And for that calling, God's grace is sufficient for each of us. Like I say, it's heavy lifting. It's not easy work to be part of the body of Christ anywhere. God's sufficient grace. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Lovely. No one of us is sufficient for our task. We need God. We need God continually. In order for us to care for the church, we need God to care for us. In order to care for the church, we need God to care for us. We need God to carry us. We need his love for his bride to fill us. We need his armor to protect us from the assaults of the evil one. His armor to protect us from pride on the right and despair on the left, from sin and error, from laziness and carelessness. We need courage to do the hard things. We need wisdom to say the right things. And always, always, we need God's Spirit to put Christ at the center, always leading God's people, men, women, grown-ups, children, to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that whatever we do and say in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. And so Paul, through prayer, commits, commends, lifts these men up and puts them in God's hand, under God's care, and calls God to look down on them with favor. Let us do the same and follow Paul's example commend these men to God through constant prayer. Because when we pray for them, don't underestimate what you're doing. When you're praying for your pastor, your deacons, your elders, you're actually lifting them up and putting them in God's hand and calling on God to shower his grace on them to care for us. And I'm a member of the flock as much as anyone here. I need their care. You need their care. Because through them, Jesus is reaching his hand into our lives to care for us. We need to commend them to the Lord in constant prayer because these men the Holy Spirit has appointed here are men like ourselves, men of flesh, weak, frail, jars of clay, breakable, temptable, vulnerable. And John Calvin uses the image of a house for office bearers. As believers, he says, our foundation is sturdy and dependable, but like every house, there's a crack here, and there's a hole there, and a gap here, and a space there, and a leak in the roof there, and a dripping faucet over there, and there's constant need for upkeep and maintenance and renovation in our lives. And that's why we need God and the word of his grace to build us up. I'll quote a paraphrase of Calvin's commentary on Acts 20, verse 32. He says, the encouragement of verse 32 is added because of our infirmities in the midst of great and weighty matters. He says, we're like houses whose foundations are sure and firm, but some parts of the building shake and crumble because our faith is far from perfect. Yes, our faith is far from perfect. Therefore, he says, we have great need to do continual upkeep in the house of our faith by building ourselves up in God and his word. And so Paul commends us. He puts us in God's loving, perfect, powerful, protective, and purifying care. God's loving, perfect, powerful, protective, and purifying care. God's favor. God's kindness, the word of his grace, that supplies you with everything you need. And the gifts he supplies, brothers, are not according to what you deserve, but according to what in his mercy, in Christ Jesus, he gives because you need it for his call. God and the word of his grace. God and the gospel. Jesus bought you all the gifts you need to be saved. You know what else he did? Jesus bought you also all the gifts you need to serve. They're all in Christ. Now you're commended to God and the word of his grace to build you up in those gifts, to supply them to you. And our call, brothers, is to believe that God, through his word, will fill you with Christ himself and empower you and encourage you. Notice the connection. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And those are connected. How does God encourage you and build you up? He talks. He talks to you. Oh, is that all? His talking made the heavens and the earth and everything in them. His talking raised Jesus from the dead. His talking regenerated you. His talking will also build you up. So God's talking. For God to talk to you is a big deal. Believe that his word will fill you with Christ. Put yourself under the word, brothers. One of the sad things sometimes about becoming an office bearer, I've heard this time and again, and it's real. Now you become too busy to do Bible study. Wait. You just entered into a greater need for Bible study than ever before. We do have to find a way. If we're commended to God and the word of his grace, then to shelter ourselves in that word of grace and to live in the gospel and live out of the gospel. Because it's in the word where the gospel will cheer your heart when you're faint and scold your heart when you're disobedient and guide your heart when you're perplexed and strengthen your heart when you're weary and fill your heart when your love grows cold. And that's true for everybody. in our callings. As Christians brought into the family of God to build up the church of Christ. Notice what Peter says. I'm going to quote 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whoever serves by the strength that God supplies. You cannot serve in your own strength. Brothers and sisters in the congregation, the truth is that God's grace is supplied to us not in dump trucks, not in dump trucks, but through IV. The Lord doesn't stop in once a month and deliver a truckload of grace and say, live off that now for a month. No, he supplies his grace through IV. Drip, 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 constant feed, constant feed. So we're called to rely on him moment by moment, step by step, trial by trial, day by day. Never, ever being able to be apart from the grace of God, the strength that God's grace supplies us. Yes, in the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified for us and risen from the dead, there's a reservoir of grace that covers your entire salvation and all your service from beginning to end. It's all there, nothing missing, more than all you need. But that which he purchased for us in the blood of his Son now is fed to us constantly. So I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able, which has power, really, as the Greek says, has power to build you up. Think of two other verses, Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And the Greek is finally be strengthened in the Lord. Not just be strong as if it's something you just carry around with you, but be strengthened, be constantly receiving strength. And what David says in Psalm 138, on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. I cry to thee and thou didst save, thy word of grace new courage gave. Think of what David said to Jonathan. I assure you, there's just a step between me and death. And remember, that's what he says to Jonathan because Saul's going to kill him. And David lived that way, just a step away from death, from collapsing, from saying, I've got nothing left. I've got no place to go. And day by day, step by step, the Lord keeps coming through to his servant David. Oh, David sometimes missed it and forgot it and would take a wrong turn. But David saw the Lord constantly breaking through. Well, it's the way for us too, where there's just one step between us and falling apart. Whatever our calling, elder, deacon, pastor, all the members of the congregation, and we need the IV of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And you need to know there is for you, not only every day, but every moment, new grace, new strength, new kindness, new wisdom, new love, new hope, new assurance, new life. Always. Matthew Henry puts it this way, whatever you want, go to God. Let your eye be ever towards him, and you're dependent upon him in all your straits and difficulties. And let this be your comfort, that you have a God to go to who is all sufficient. God's inheritance. God's grace carries with it a beautiful promise, thirdly, for God's people. A special promise for the office bearer. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. His word is able to build you up. but also has power to bring you all the way to your inheritance. Notice what it says, not just in heaven, but among the saints. Serving the church here on earth, called sometimes the church militant, is a struggle. But you do it with an eye on Christ, who has purchased her perfection, the perfection of the body of Christ. And to know that you have an inheritance among the saints, which is not just heaven and God, but the church triumphant. There is a perfect bride waiting for you in heaven. There is a perfect church waiting for you, not anywhere here on earth. People run and run and run and run and run and run, and they found it, and then the next day they found out they didn't, and then there's disappointment. You find it there. You find it there. And here's the promise that as God cares for you and carries you and builds you up with his word of grace, your work here in the church is actually going somewhere. Is being used by God to bring us closer to the perfect church, that inheritance among the saints. Sometimes we think our work in the body of Christ is in vain. It's not going anywhere. God does nothing through me. This was a waste of time. Never. Not when you do it in faith, trusting that Jesus has washed you with his blood, created a body with his blood, is purifying that body, and one day will bring her to absolute perfection, and you're part of his work in doing that, creating a radiant bride. There's an inheritance waiting for you, dear deacons and elders, and you're part of the journey to that inheritance in the work you do. But that's true for all of us. As each one builds up the body, or as the body builds up itself in love, as each one does his or her work, there's an inheritance waiting among the saints, among those who are sanctified. What a glorious future awaits us who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith in him for what he has done, is doing, and will one day do. Let's look to him. To rest in him. Let's commend one another to his care for all his grace to be at work in us. Amen. Father in heaven, the perfect church is waiting for us in heaven, and we long for that. We look forward to that when all relationships will be perfect. There'll be no disappointments and no struggles. Perfect fellowship with God in Christ and perfect fellowship with each other. We know there's a perfect church waiting for us. We also know, Lord, that you call us to strive for that goal through our labors in the body of Christ. Make us faithful as members of the congregation, as leaders in the congregation. Make us all faithful and use us, Lord, to make your bride more and more radiant. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.